children running around. There's people in the coffee shop. There's people in all the meeting rooms. It's kind of like a wild circus, honestly. Not in the approach of what we're, you know, presenting them, but just in that there's so many people here, and it's very lively and joyful.
Yeah.
It's a lively faith. And so we're back on site in the sense that we're giving children that opportunity to encounter each other, encounter the faith together.
And it's so neat, going back to what you said originally, is that you didn't feel like you had that experience growing up when you were younger, but boy, yeah. More than making up for it now at, yes. at a parish like this. Alec Bond, Faith Formation Director here at St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Frisco. And thank you, Alec. And MJ, I just want to close with one question for you. We're almost into May, and so everybody's starting to think of summer and school getting out, and either you can jump in on this. What's going on this summer in particular? Is there a VBS, or is there any kind of summer programs that you'd like to tell our listeners about?
Yes, so we love the summer. We always say there's such a leisure to it, of so many of our teens have just more time off or things like that, so we want to lean into that. So over the summer, though we end with Sunday Youth Night, we start up a Wednesday Bible study. So any high schoolers are willing or just invited to join us on Wednesday nights, and then even Thursday mornings, where we have a Bible study for middle school as well. And then we also go to the Steubenville Conference in Irving, which is so great to have right by us, and as well as a high school mission trip in Corpus Christi. And yeah, that mission trip is very special to our ministry because it really jump-started what we have today. That we started with about 10, 12 teens that were just really changed and transformed through that one small mission trip. And that really jump-started a lot of what we have today, of just bold teens on fire for their faith and willing to proclaim the gospel with us. And yeah, that's such a special time of the year.
Yeah, and I've been able to live through that a bit. My godson is a high schooler at this parish, Bennett Pilkington, and so I kind of live vicariously through all the great stuff that he's experiencing here at the parish. So thank you to both. MJ Garza is Director of Youth Ministry for Middle and High Schoolers, and Alec Bonda, Faith Formation Director here at St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Frisco. Thanks you very much to both of you. As we move on to our next segment, and we are now halfway through our broadcast, we're going until 1 o'clock, and we're at St. Francis Parish in Frisco, and I want to tell you that you're listening to KTH 910 AM Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Are we also on KCPP? Okay, no. So I don't have to give a call an ID for that one. But I do want to thank, and I'm very grateful for Deacon Alex, who put together not only just a stellar list of guests here, but also gave me more questions than I could possibly ever ask these guests. And as we begin our second hour of the broadcast, I am joined by Maria Diaz, who is Communications Director and Young Adult Leader, and also Tim Truss, Director of Strategic Initiatives for Young Adults. Wow, what a title. Director of Strategic Initiatives. I'll start with that. What in the world does that mean?
Yeah, thanks so much, Dave. So as you've heard a lot from my colleagues in this podcast, a lot of what we do here at St. Francis is actually everything that we do is aimed at making disciples of all nations. And so part of my role as Director of Strategic Initiatives is to kind of be a sweeping project manager and to ensure that all of the initiatives that we are pushing forward have to do with the mission, and that each thing checks that box that Jesus invited us in the mission of Matthew 28 to go and make disciples of all nations. So, for example, we're sitting in this incredible coffee shop that was one of my initiatives. It was such a joy. It was my first one actually in this role. And the goal of it is not to sell great coffee. The goal is a place of encounter and is a place for people to be in community and to encounter each other in the gospel, and then the coffee's just to get them there.
Mm-hmm. So. Did I see you behind the counter a little earlier?
I did, yes.
Yeah, do you work here?
So I being that it was part of my project, I implemented all the processes and procedures that we have, as well as helped picked out some of the equipment. So I'm very familiar with all of it, and so I'll step in as needed just to be there if they need some help.
Yeah, one other quick question before we introduce Maria Diaz as well. Not that I have to tell you all this, but this young adult time frame is so critical in the life of a Christian, a Catholic, where a lot of may go one direction or another. They may just leave the church and maybe never come back, or maybe experiment with other faiths or this or that. And so you got to kind of grab them, don't you? Or at least engage them at that age.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And we have many ways of doing that. But just speaking from our experience in our young adult community, Frisco is such a growing area. And so we see a lot of young adult professionals that are moving to the area and are desperate for community, right? We're in an age where everyone is so connected on social media and through their phones, but feeling desperately alone and desirous of that connection. So the coffee shop gets them in, and then our community and fellowship and formation keeps them there. So
yeah, for sure. It's always interesting when I hear people talk about loneliness and maybe some alienation, and you're thinking, we have so many ways to communicate with each other. Why would anybody be lonely? But I know that is a reality for far too many people. And a great time to bring in the communication director as we talk about communications and young adults, Maria Diaz, who I got to know because our mutual friend Rowena introduced you to us, and you came and helped us with our event coming up on July 19th with some of the graphics. So thank you very much for your help with the GRN.
Of course. That was a pleasure to be able to help with that. Your 25th anniversary.
Yeah, 25th anniversary.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
So communication director, and again, I always go back to, it's one thing to be doing what you're doing at any parish, but to do it at St. Francis Frisco, it just everything gets elevated. Everything is uber and everything is
everything
bigger.
Everything is multiplied. So, yes, everything is
so
bigger.
So what exactly do you do, or what's your range of responsibilities as communication director?
So I like to say that I actually tell the story of what's happening here, because as you know very well, that the best way to reach people and communicate with people is to tell the story, right? Mm-hmm. People listen to stories. So I try to put stuff out there that's going to get them connected to the opportunities that they could find Jesus here. So whether that's like putting in the bulletin, our revival night every month, like that's a huge part of like what I do, right? Mm-hmm. Or an event that the ministers are putting on, and that they can find community there, they can find Jesus there, you know? So practically speaking, I just make sure that all of our communication channels are running smoothly and in a way that is intriguing for people and beautiful.
And the average parishioner, what is the best way for them to find out? Or what are they using? Are they using more digital stuff? Are they picking up the bulletin? Are they, going on social media?
Yeah, it's definitely both, because we have all different ages here, right? So I know that a certain age has a tendency to pick up the bulletin more, or a different age has a certain, I guess, an inclination to look at their social media. But I think the one that reaches the general public the most is email. So we have a huge email list.
Yeah, I bet you do for a parish this size. Mm-hmm. Maria Diaz, communications director, and young adults is what it says. Are you director of young adults, or what is the or the young adult part of your title here?
Oh yes, so I co-lead the young adult group at 10.
Oh okay, very good. You know, the new initiatives, strategic initiatives. What have you found, Tim, that's working? What has been effective in getting this age group to be more engaged in their faith?
Sure, yeah. So I think, I kind of separate that out a little bit, and recognizing that the strategic initiative is implementing in the whole parish, right? And so the young adults part of our role is really engaging that 18 to 35 group. And how we do that is really similar to the rest of the parish, except other than we're inviting that specific demographic, right? And so we, just to give you a little bit of a backstory, when Maria and I took over young adults a little over a year ago, we were averaging 15 to 20 young adults in the group, and there was a lot of socials and a lot of just hangout times, which is awesome. But people are hungry for the faith; they want more. So we decided.
We've been told that's hungry for the faith.
Yeah. So we decided, well, let's put our heads together and figure it out. So for 13 masses one weekend, we did a pulpit announcement and invited all the young adults in the parish, and we had a big kickoff night where we had 80 people there, and we've continued to hit record numbers each week because people are so desirous for that community. And so the strategic part of it comes in recognizing, hey, we've got food, we've got, we've got good music, we've got, we're people your age, and also, by the way, we want you to get to heaven. Mm-hmm. And so people really grapple to that understanding, that being seen, loved, and cared for beyond just what they can get at the bar scene at this age.
Yeah, right, because they can go at any... Yeah, they can find the social aspect elsewhere. But what do you find... What are they most hungry for, Maria, when it comes to the faith? Is there a particular... Is it apologetics or church history or, you know, marriage? You know, what are... And I know it's not one size fits all, but what are you finding?
You know, I think I'm going to say that... Again, it's all, but yeah. I think what they've been experiencing in their life so far is just a superficial level of all those things that you just listed. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, there's more. We feel it. We see, like, people in the parish, like Father Rudy and Deacon Alex, or whatever, like, they know that there's more, too. So we want to be growing deeper just as they could see other people in the parish growing deeper. So they specifically asked us, like, okay, let's say, for example, apologetics, like what?
Yeah, thanks so much, Maria. Just to further that a little bit, the apologetics part of it is like kind of hitting on the four pillars that we see in Acts of the Apostles, right?
Uh-huh.
So the breaking of the bread, which is the church is teaching on the Eucharist. So once a month, we'll join the parish on Wednesday nights for Eucharistic Revival Night. So they get this constant exposition to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And then the teachings of the apostles. So that goes into kind of the formation aspect of it, like... for example, theology of the body and a right understanding of our sexuality, and then the community and
like Tim just gave a talk on mental health, right? Like mm-hmm. that's a great way to put it, like a Catholic lens on it, right? Because there's a lot of different ways that people talk about that, but it's nice to hear just like what God says about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm thinking also, you know, their young adult can mean so many things to different people. Some of them may be married. Some of them may have children. Some of them
exactly.
may have just gotten out of college. Some, you know, I think you said 18 to 35. That's a huge difference between an 18-year-old and a 35-year-old. Some of them want to meet their future spouse. Some of them may want, yeah. you know, community, you know, job connections. And so how do you kind of weigh all those different needs at this important part of their life and try to, you know, get it so that it does serve
yeah.
this broad community.
It's a great point, Dave. I'm glad you brought that up. One of the things that we implemented in this time frame is we call them permanent small groups. So on the nights of formation where we'll share something that they can incite going deeper, we've invited some of our key young adult leaders to be ambassadors for our program. So they lead permanent small groups, and we've broken them out into men and women, and then we've broken them out into smaller age segments, so closer to that point of life. And then we have our married young adults. So we've got the married men and the married women led by married individuals, because all of us, you know, an 18-year-old's experience on life is going to be very different than a 34-year-old, but they both deserve to be there, and they both deserve community. So we found a way that really breaks it out into a cohesive and normal environment for them to be in, and we found that it's working well.
I remember when I was y'all's age, John Paul II was Pope, and there was something called the JP2 generation. Mm-hmm. And I guess that mm-hmm. maybe is me and maybe some people younger than me. Is there a connection now that, of course, the whole world is talking about Pope Francis, that what impact, and either of you can jump in, did his pontificate, his papacy have on you all and maybe in general, people your age? What has it meant to you all?
You know, when I think about Pope Francis's legacy, I immediately go to mercy. And I think that this generation has seen a lot of upheaval, a lot of us versus them kind of mentality, you know, things like transgender ideology and race things and things that we've seen over COVID and a lot of disruption in both sides of the aisle. And I think that Pope Francis did an amazing job of bringing that cohesion together and allowing people to see the face of another versus what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I think of when I think our generation recognizes and values that.
And I think like just a level of hope that he gave to people, right, is just like, not just toward Catholics, but toward the whole world. Like, after he passed, I started seeing so many different, like, celebrities and just people that I would never thought that even knew who that was.
Yeah.
Saying, like, yeah, he was a good man. Like, we're sad that he passed. I'm like, wow, he really was inspiring everyone. So.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking of the generational difference between me and the two of you. You're very young and I'm more middle-aged, but do you ever have parents come up to you and say, how can I get my, you know, young, my son or my daughter to get more involved?
If we had a dollar, Dave.
If you had a dollar, you could buy all of us drinks in this whole place right now, right? So what do you, I mean, but it's a legitimate question because 100%. Parents, I mean, I have a 20-year-old and a 16-year-old, and so I know that sentiment. It's like, gosh, I wish they would be more involved, or you know, this and that. Since you've been asked it so many times, what do you say?
You know, one of the things that I think of is the power of invitation. And so, of course, like somebody's parent inviting them to something is going to be very different than somebody their age who's quote unquote normal, right? They want to know that it's a safe environment for them to go into where they're not going to feel outcasted because they're not that strong in their faith or whatever it is. So, we often tell parents, you know, hey. Give them, here's the link to our Instagram. They can see that we're a bunch of people that meet. We go to bars. We do normal things. We're not crazy Catholics that don't know how to have fun and we're all weird, right? And I think that's some people's, that's their perception based on, I don't know what it is, but I can tell you that the diocese here in Dallas is absolutely killing it with young adults. And that power of invitation, just to look. Why don't you just take a look at our Instagram page? Why don't you follow us? Maria and I, we always laugh. We ask new people every week, how did you find us? And he's kind of embarrassed. They said, Instagram. I'm like, why are you embarrassed?
That's great.
It's
working. Yeah.
Like, hey, our generation.
Oh, they're embarrassed to admit they're on Instagram.
Yeah, they're to admit they found us on social media. That's why
some guy found us on Reddit. I just want to throw that out there.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. So we always start there. The low point of entry is to look at us on what you're already on the platform. Just type us in.
Yeah. And, you know, I always say when I was younger, my big breakthrough moment for me is I went to Adoration one time with a young group and I was kind of having that feeling like I wasn't into it at the time, and then when I came out, a guy came up and said, hey, do you want to go get a drink? And I was like, wow, you can do both? You can actually like do that and then still like go and have a beer? And I really didn't realize people were doing that, but that's kind of your point. You don't have to, faith and fun don't have to be divorced from each other. As we wrap up, and thank you very much, Tim Trust, did I get your name pronounced right? Okay, Director of Strategic Initiatives, Young Adults here at St. Francis of Assisi Parish, and Marie Diaz, Communication Director. Looking forward to the next month or two, what kind of activities, in case people are listening, what are y'all going to be doing? Any, you want one or two events that you want to highlight, or just send them to our website?
Well, I can tell you one thing that we're particularly excited about is our kickoff in the fall. In August, we're going to have a big two-step and line dancing event in our great hall where we're inviting all young adults in the diocese to join us for a fundraiser. So that's coming, and I know a lot of people travel in the summer, so we still do formation nights and we still meet weekly, but we anticipate a huge rush of young adults in the fall. So
all right.
And also, one of our big ministry events that happens is our Derby Night, so that's coming up as well. So there's more information in the bulletin, of course.
Derby Night, is that like horse races?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, is it really? I was joking. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they put on some old races on the screen and have people bet, and there's mint juleps, and it's really fun.
Okay. Oh, wow, how cool. Well, thanks to you both.
Well, thanks so much.
Great spend time with you. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you.
And we are now down to our last three segments, and we are going to make our way into talking about the Turrentine Jackson. Let's see. Here we go. A little switcheroo going on. Alisa Kuko and Donnell Weichman. I probably mispronounced both of their names, but talking about sacraments that they handle at the parish, weddings, funerals, baptism, quinceañeras, and relational aspects of helping integrate people after sacraments. All right, very good. I love this topic. This is awesome. I was just got a book today in the mail by Father Chris Alar about the sacraments, and so it's obviously a key part of the life of a Catholic. And so which one's Alisa? Okay, I got you guys. Okay, is it Alisa Kuko?
It's
Alisa. Alisa Kuko.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to make sure I got that right. Okay, and Donnell Weichman?
Weichman, yes.
Weichman. Okay. Okay, Donnell Weichman and Alisa Kuko. All right, I got that part right, talking about the sacraments. Well, Donnell, what is your role here at the parish? What is the title?
Okay, so my role is the sacraments manager. I work mostly with the wedding side. And Alisa does the quinceañeras and the funerals and the baptisms in general.
Okay. Yes. Wow. At a parish this size, y'all must be so, so busy. Let me start with weddings. How many weddings a year are you all having here?
We do in the neighborhood of 125 to 150 a year.
Oh, wow.
In that neighborhood. It just depends.
Yeah.
And it's all different types. So we could have convalidations. So people that were married civilly are now bringing their marriage into the church. And we also do engage couples.
Yeah. And that's a very important, obviously, part of your job. I see the weddings. So what was the other aspect? Do you handle the baptisms? And Elisa's the baptism person. Okay. And Kisa does. I know we see statistics and they say, you know, numbers are dropping of weddings and baptisms. But I bet that's not the case at St. Francis of Assisi.
No.
What kind of numbers are we talking about here?
We have a lot of baptisms every year. I think we're kind of close to 400 baptisms in community. That's infant baptisms. That's, you know, babies all the way up to age 7. And then we also have the blessed opportunity to sometimes offer private baptisms for families, you know, who aren't able to come into, you know, the community ones that we have already scheduled. So we probably have about 50 of those private ceremonies in addition to the community one.
Are the baptisms ever incorporated into the regular masses, or is it always a separate service?
Yes, with the way that our mass schedule is set up on Sundays, we have back-to-back masses all day long in the church. So we just don't have that time in between masses to be able to do a baptism ceremony. And then, you know, just with the regular liturgy of the Mass, it's just hard for, you know, Father to incorporate the rite of baptism into that Sunday Mass for us to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But we have them scheduled on mostly Saturday mornings, usually the first and third week of every month in community. It's super easy for parents if they're interested in having their babies baptized here with us. All they need to do is go to the St. Francis of Assisi website, you know, St. Francis of Assisi in Frisco. There is in the menu, the tab for sacraments, and they can just go to the baptism page, and we've got all our dates posted, the registration forms and requirements. For parents and for godparents, a lot of times people have questions about what are the requirements to be a godparent. All of that is clearly explained on our website. And, obviously they can always reach out to me. My contact information is on the website as well. If they have, like, you know, questions that they, you know, are still wondering about after reviewing that. But, yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful sacrament. And, you know, we're always just so blessed when those little kiddos get to be welcomed.
Oh,
into the
yeah.
church.
How beautiful.
Yeah.
I want to come back and ask about quinceañeros because, I know it's primarily a Hispanic thing, but maybe not exclusively, but I'll come back to that and what that's all about because some people may not be familiar if it wasn't part of their culture. But let me go back to weddings because in Catholic radio, I've been in Catholic radio for 20 years, and it's so many questions come up about Catholic marriage. You know, can a Catholic and a non-Catholic get married, and annulments, and this and that, and there's so much confusion. And so you must, Danelle, have a bit of background about this. What is your background as far as the kind of the rules and the rights and as far as the marriage and annulments? So how did you have to go through training for this?
So I haven't been involved in annulments, so I don't do a lot of work with that. There's people on staff that have been trained in how to go through that with couples and how to go through that journey with them. So I really can't talk too much about annulments.
Yeah. But as far as marriage, you must get calls saying, you know, I'm dating a non-Catholic. Can we get married to St. Francis? Or my fiancé doesn't believe in God or so.
Right.
Well, what is the requirement? If somebody wants to get married here, what's the bar?
So this is all brought through us through the diocese, and we have guidelines that we work through the diocese with. If both couples are Catholic, that's one condition. And then if one member of the couple is not Catholic, then we have to look whether or not they were baptized in another Christian tradition. What Christian tradition were they baptized in? and go through there and work with the diocese on either a dispensation or permission if they were baptized in another Christian tradition. So there's some extra forms that we talk about and some conditions that we go through with them. But it's really a case-by-case basis. We really need to, we spend a lot of time talking with the couples and trying to understand where they are in their faith journey, you know, what are their plans, and go through all that with them in order to understand their readiness for the sacrament and what we need to do as far as preparation.
Does somebody need to be a parishioner here to get married here?
So you would need to be a parishioner or live in the boundaries in order for us to help with your sacrament preparation, or we would need to have permission from your home parish if we should help you with your preparation. So it's just kind of on a case-by-case basis, but we do have to get some extra permissions in some cases.
Yes, and I know y'all want to talk about the relational aspect of all this, and I'll get to that and let you both jump in, but let me go back to the quinceañera. I know quinceañera has to do with 15. It's when why don't you go ahead and explain it?
Sure. So it is kind of like a cultural tradition, mostly in our Hispanic families, but anyone who would like to, you know, have that blessing for their daughter usually, but it doesn't even have to be a girl. You know, we've had boys receive that quinceañera blessing as well. You know, it's usually around the time of confirmation when it's done, and it's just a beautiful mass where, you know, the recipient of the mass receives that blessing. They get to renew their baptismal promises, usually made when they didn't remember, so they get to recite that and then make sort of like a thanksgiving and rededication of their life to the Lord at that mass. So it really is a beautiful liturgy. We do it in Spanish, we do it in English, we do bilingual, just whatever works best for the child or the young adult that is receiving that.
And you mentioned it's not, you know, there are some boys that do it, but it's primarily a girl thing, primarily, you know, 15-year-old girls, primarily in the Hispanic culture. Are you finding that it is going into other cultures? Are there more, you know, Anglo people that are like, hey, I think we want to do this as well?
Yeah, I think here at St. Francis, we've seen sort of like an interest in our English, you know, mass goers. You know, they're friends from, you know, the youth here in our community, and they get to, you know, witness it as their friends, perhaps, and then they tell their parents, that's something I would like to do. We just had one not too long ago where that was the case.
And it's not a sacrament. It's not confirmation. No. Mm-hmm. It's different. But I guess one of the biggest differences is that it's individual. That you're not, when you get confirmed, typically you get confirmed in a big group with a bunch of people. But this is more individual. Would that be accurate, or do you do group quinceañeras?
We don't do group quinceañeras here. They're all private ceremonies. So like I said, it's not a sacrament, but it is a very real blessing that, you know, for the recipient, you know, they I think that they come away from that realizing that they are sort of, you know, promising to, as they continue to grow, you know, after confirmation, that they are going to be living a life of faith and dedicating, you know, their lives to the Lord.
All right. Thank you so much. Elisa Cucco and Danelle Weekman are the folks talking here about the sacraments here at St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Frisco. And let me just kind of bring up that general question about the relational aspects of helping integrate people after the sacraments. This was written down by Cicel and said you guys want to talk about that. So talk about that, if you would, Danelle.
So one of the things that I find very fulfilling and inspirational is especially our couples that are coming into the church. So many people come in through OCIA. Maybe one of the couples was not originally Catholic. And I see them, they ask for a convalidation. And you get to see that couple grow together and become a member of the community and get involved and baptize their children and just... And you get to just see that light of Christ just come into their life and into their relationship. And I think that's one of the things that I find most fulfilling and most inspirational about what we see going on in the sacraments.
Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about funerals. I don't know which you all handle funerals. Okay, because you really, I mean, when I've talked to priests are at the most intimate and important times in people's lives, whether it be baptisms or Holy Communion or confirmation, quinceañeras, and funerals as well. But this is obviously a very, very touching part of a person's life. What general comments would you make about the funeral ministry, Elisa, here at St. Francis?
That time of life is just, you know, you're never prepared when you lose a loved one.
Yeah.
And the pastoral ministry side of it, you know, is just so important. You know, we try to walk with our families as closely and as, you know, individually as we can, as we help them prepare. Usually they just want to, you know, give their loved one all that they can up to the very final moments. And it's a beautiful mass. It can definitely be very sad but very joyful, because
yeah.
Our faith, you know, it teaches us that it's not the end. You know, we do have that hope that we will be united with our loved ones again.
It takes a special kind of person to do what y'all do. You must have to love people. You must be able to empathize and care for them, especially in funerals, but also in weddings and quinceañeras and baptisms. And it must be an enjoyable job, just because you get to be with people in the most important times of their life.
Definitely.
Yeah, well, thank you so much to both of you for the work that you do. And if people want to find out about sacramental preparation and quinceañeras and these kind of things, is it all there on the website?
It's all there on the website, and our contact information is on there as well. We'd love to talk to them about it.
All right, Elisa Cucco and Danielle Weekman talking about sacraments that they handle here at the parish, stfoafrisco.org. I think I got that one memorized, stfoafrisco.org. Thank you very much.
Thank
I appreciate
you
y'all being on with us. And we're down to our last 30 minutes. We're broadcasting from, I didn't even talk to you about Gubbio's. Do y'all have a favorite drink?
Everything.
Everything? Okay. I was able to get a Frappuccino here. It's very good. But we are broadcasting live from Gubbio's today. Gubbio's Coffee and More here on the campus of St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Frisco. It's a very unique thing to have a coffee shop right in the middle of the campus. They've got a lot of land here. It's one of, if you missed our first segment with Father Rudy, some survey showed that it was one of the top four most vibrant parishes in the country. They have 30,000 registered parishioners. It's just an amazing 13 masses every weekend. It's just phenomenal what is going on here. And in this penultimate segment here, I have with me Deacon Henry Weekman. Is that right? Was that your wife that I just talked to?
Or? It was. Yes.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, okay, that's how I know. I didn't say Weekman because I learned from her. Okay, so Deacon Henry Weekman, director of continuing formation and outreach here at St. Francis of Assisi Parish, and also OCIA Director Jennifer Alameda. OCIA is with the good deacon, and then Jennifer Alameda, Manager of Christian Initiation.
Yes,
would that be OCIA?
Yes, that's OCIA.
Okay, first question is, why did RCIA become OCIA?
Well, do you want to answer that?
So the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, as part of their effort to update the translations of many of the rites of the church, they decided that it was really more appropriate to refer to the program of Christian initiation as an order and not just a rite, because
okay.
There are actually several rites that are part of it. So the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops changed the name to the Order of Christian Initiation of Adults to start this year. And as part of that, they did update some of the translations for several of the prayers that are used in the different rites, things like that. although a lot of the essentials of the process are still the same as the RCIA.
Yes, Alec Bonda, who I talked to earlier, was talking about how many people, even in the youth work that he does, and young people come up and say, you know, I'm interested in being a Catholic. I'm interested in being a Catholic. At a parish this size, I would imagine you have quite a few people that come in every year. What kind of numbers are we talking about?
Well, I would say that we have probably 2 to 3 inquirers every week that come and ask about the program. This past year in the program, we have 4 programs. We have the English Adult Program. That program had 53 people in it this year. In the Spanish Adult Program, we had 14. In the English Children Program, we had 9, and in the Spanish Children Program, we had 10. So that's a glimpse of the numbers. So of those numbers, at the Easter Vigil, we had 39 that were baptized, came into the church in confirmation in First Communion. And this past Saturday at the Divine Mercy Weekend Mass, we had 16 that came into the church. These were those that were baptized in another faith. And they made a profession of faith, became Catholic, and received the sacraments. And then we'll have about 20 that will Catholics that were baptized but never received any other sacraments, and they will receive those sacraments at Pentecost.
Yes, and you know, so we want to talk about continuing formation, Deacon Weekman. What are some of the resources that you find most helpful? What has been something that you've leaned on in order to educate people?
Yeah, so it's interesting. A lot of the people that are coming to us now have found some resources online. There are so many good Catholic evangelists now that have content online. And so compared to maybe 10 years ago, where people would come to us without much knowledge at all of the faith, now we're getting some coming much more sophisticated, and they've got more specific questions and things. And so we have to be ready to adapt to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
We take advantage of online resources. We encourage people to be using some of the phone applications that they have. We always tell them about different online resources as well. Some of the sites like form.org that the Augustine Institute puts together, we rely on a lot of their content as well. But we're able to leverage some of that knowledge that they have to then be able to work with them on the level that they are. And so we try to answer those questions and refer them to areas for additional study, even outside the session. Because a lot of times the session itself, we meet on Thursday evenings, and it's a 2-hour session, which sounds like a lot, but it goes really, really fast. And so as we're working through things, there's always more questions to be answered, et cetera, and so we've got to point them to some of these other resources as supplements to kind of help them through that.
Yeah. You know, don't talk about the cycle of the year, because, you know, not everybody decides to come into the Catholic Church right, you know, 2 weeks before our OCIA begins. And if somebody comes to you halfway through and you're, you know, already well into a formation of a group, what do you do?
Well, we really try to work with them on a case-by-case basis, because it varies. Sometimes they have been already working on a program in another parish and transfer in. Sometimes they come at a point where, after we meet with them and we evaluate where they're at, we feel like we can just plug them into the current program. But if we feel they really need to wait and start when we start in September, what we do is we have a variety of things that we share with them to keep them engaged up until that time. And one of the things that we've noticed is a lot of the people that are coming to us are young adults, lots and lots of young adults. That's probably our largest draw right now. And we have such a vibrant young adults program, I'm sure you heard about it earlier, that we try to get them engaged in the parish in young adults until the sessions start with us. And then over the summer, we have like a pre-RCIA program where we meet with them a couple of times a month, just to kind of keep them engaged, just so that we don't let them get disconnected and fall away until we start in September.
I mentioned at a parish this big, that is one of the dangers of people kind of getting lost in the shuffle.
Yes.
You know, there are advantages of being big, but sometimes people may feel like they're just a number. So how do you get around that, Deacon?
Well, one of the things we try to do is to build community We actually go in and at the beginning of the year, beginning of our sessions, we'll have assigned seating for a while, and we go in and we end up getting people assigned with different folks over time, so they meet different people in the group. We encourage them to be doing some common service projects. We try to plug them in with different ministries as well in the parish, so they get to know a lot of folks. Our sponsors, in many cases, do a great job of introducing them to their friends and the ministries they're involved with, because we think it's really important for them to know that they have a community and to build that up as much as we can. So that's another key focus area, besides any sort of book knowledge and an understanding of basic theology, is to make sure that we're growing that community aspect as well.
When Deacon Alex sent me the list of guests and questions, he mentioned about that y'all might have some what do you call glory stories, maybe the stories that you know that come out. So I wanted to prepare you for that, and then just let everybody know who I'm speaking to. Deacon Henry Weekman is Director of Continuing Formation and Outreach in OCIA, and also Jennifer Alameda, Manager of Christian Initiation here at St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Frisco. By the way, we're broadcasting live. You probably are wondering about the background noise. We are at the Gubbio's Coffee and More, the coffee shop right here on the campus of St. Francis in the narthex of the Great Hall. And so if you want to come see us, we're going to be broadcasting just for another 20 minutes or so. But, of course, it's open long beyond the hours that we're doing this broadcast. And but anyways, okay, so the glory stories. Can you tell us a couple?
Oh, I'd love to share them. There's so many. I couldn't tell them all to you, but I'll share just a couple. This year we had a very special candidate who, her brother reached out to us and said, my sister really would like to come into the Catholic Church. She was baptized in another faith tradition, but she was not able to come to our sessions because she's in a nursing home. And so we worked out a very special program so that she would be able to receive all of the materials. He went and sat with her every week and covered it. And she's just this most amazing woman, and she received her sacraments this past Saturday. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. They brought her from the nursing home, and she was there and received the sacraments, and it was just very emotional for all of us that have walked with her on this journey. Very tearful and beautiful to see her finally be able to become Catholic, and so
never too late, is
never.
It?
Never, yeah. You know, her journey has been very special to be a part of. And then the other thing I would say is just witnessing them receive the sacraments. You know, we journey with these people for 9 months. You know, we get to know them. They're our family. And then when you finally see them at the vigil or at, you know, the Divine Mercy Mass, receiving the sacraments, it's just very emotional. You love them, and you are so happy to see them finally get their sacraments.
Yes. Any glory stories you can think of, Deacon?
Oh, as Jennifer mentioned, there's so many. But one of the things I always find touching, we've had a lot of veterans that have come through the program, military veterans, some that have been through some very challenging situations. Many of them are even diagnosed with PTSD and other challenges. But these guys have really, really given it all for our country and in service to others. We also have a number of first responders. And, you know, some of these guys come in, and they're pretty tough guys. And to have them come in and realize that they want a closer relationship with Jesus, they want to grow in their faith, and to take that seriously, and then you watch them receiving the sacraments, like just the past couple weeks, and you see these big, strong guys, you know, tearing up as they're being confirmed, and just to watch the awesomeness of that is just amazing, to see how God is working through these guys.
You know, you mentioned about a lot of people come in having already done some research and watching videos and things on YouTube or what have you. And so you get this big group of people, and some of them, there are very different levels of education, and some people may not know anything about the Catholic faith, and some people could probably, be teaching the class, you know. So how do you find that? Like, what's the most important thing to teach these people in that relatively short 9-month period that you have to form them?
Well, we actually, in my Spanish program, I had a gal who came into the church that didn't even know who Mary was. So we have that extreme, and then we have the ones like that Deacon Henry was saying that have a lot of knowledge. So what we try to do is we kind of aim for the middle, and then we, during the sessions, we encourage them to ask questions. If where we're hitting, it might be tube above their heads. And then we also circle back and have one-on-ones with all of them to make sure that they're getting what they need. And we rely a lot on the sponsors to really help them with any questions that might have. So it's difficult because you have extreme, ends of the spectrum there. So,
and the fundamentally, the most important thing is that they grow in their relationship with Jesus, and we encourage a really personal relationship there. And so even the ones that have a lot of knowledge, head knowledge, they still need some work usually on their heart. Mm-hmm. And growing in that close relationship and in their prayer life. So we try to reach out to them as well and make sure that that's happening. And the one-on-ones help a lot with that. The sponsors help a lot with that. We try to expose them to different types of devotions and prayer experiences and things like that to really, really help them grow in that relationship.
And what is the strategy? Once these folks go through the program, they come into the church, and they're used to these weekly meetings, and they're bonding with everybody. Now all of a sudden, they're out of the nest. They're regular parishioners. Do you have follow-up meetings? How do you try to keep them engaged in the parish life? What's that strategy?
Well, we introduce them throughout the entire year to all the ministries that we have available, and we encourage their sponsors to, as Deacon Henry said earlier, to take them to different groups and meetings and get them involved. And that allows them to make their own community. But we do follow up with them. We try to keep them engaged and help them to just stay connected to the parish. And so it's something that we're always working on. We've had in the past summer programs where we followed up with them, once a month just to keep them engaged. So just trying to figure out that right balance is tricky, but we're working on it.
All right. And now the biggest question of all. Tell us about Gubbio's, this coffee shop. And I'm sure this plays a part in your ministry, right? Do you meet people here? It's probably not big enough to have your meetings here, but how do you utilize this coffee shop?
Oh, the coffee shop has been a real gift to the parish, and we enjoy it. We use it for meetings when we're meeting one-on-one with people. Also, we'll see a lot of our candidates before the sessions in here having fellowship and using coffee, so we encourage them to come early, get a coffee, and visit. But it's been such a great way to have a comfortable place to meet with people and talk with them.
Yes. And Deacon Henry, how about you? What have you enjoyed about this?
Yeah, the meeting space has been great. And then the gatherings, a lot of sponsors and candidates we see in here before sessions, even after sessions. It helps to build that community, that aspect, which is so, so important.
Yeah. And if somebody is listening and they have thought, like I've always thought about maybe looking into the Catholic Church, and, now that they're hearing this and maybe they feel this is some kind of divine call that they're listening to the radio right now, what's the first step? What should they do? Whether they're in Frisco or Weatherford or Waxahachie or Dallas, what should they do?
They should reach out to the OCIA point of contact at whatever parish and ask the questions about the process and get plugged in. Here it would either be Deacon Henry or myself if they wanted to reach out here at St. Francis, and we would just explain the program to them, find out if it's a good fit, and go from there.
Uh-huh. Do you ever have people call up and say, I want my neighbor to be Catholic? And it's like, okay, but they need to, right?
Yeah. Sometimes we do, or I want my spouse to be Catholic.
Yeah, okay. Can you help me get my kids back into the Catholic Church? It's like, sorry, that's the Holy Spirit's role. Well, thank you to you both. For you both for being
for
on. Deacon
us.
Henry Weekman, Director of Continuing Formation and Outreach in OCIA, and also Jennifer Alameda, Manager of Christian Initiation here at St. Francis of Assisi. Thank you very much
for being on.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. And, believe it or not, we're down to our last segment as we continue our broadcast here at Gubbio's Coffee and More. Right here at St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Frisco, we have gone from Father Rudy Garcia had joined us for a couple of segments, and now we close it all out with a segment on Kids Day Out, and the parish leadership team member, all wrapped up in one lady, Lauren Hartsock, director of Kids Day Out and the parish leadership team member. So those are clearly two different roles that you play, that everything's interconnected, but two different parts of the parish life for you, right?
They are two very different parts.
Well, let's take them one at a time. A parish leadership team member, is this like a parish council? Is that
it
right?
It is. So we are kind of an advisory team, a leadership team that Father Rudy has put together based on the administration organization of the Amazing Parish, and we're kind of like his advisory team. There is five of us on that team, including him, and anything big that happens or any decisions, it all kind of, he does a great job and it funnels through us.
So, did you say only five total?
There is five of us.
For this
yes.
parish of yes. like 30,000 people, there's only four and then the pastor.
Yes, it
wow.
is.
Wow. How do you become a part of that? Is that by invitation?
Yes, it was by invitation. Father Rudy asked all of us years ago, I think this is my fourth or fifth year, to be doing that. So it's always very interesting because we do a lot of the over umbrella parts of the parish, the vision seeking, those types, not the day-to-day running of the mm-hmm. parish, but just kind of the visionary type of that. And so it can be a lot.
Yeah. What's your background, or what prepared you for this professionally?
So I am in education.
Okay.
I have my teaching certification, and I started the preschool here and have just been here for over 20 years. And I think as part of the parish leadership team, I just bring a different mm-hmm. mindset, a different avenue, a different
yeah.
thinking type.
And when they came and said, okay, we're thinking about putting this coffee shop on campus, what were your thoughts, or what was the genesis of the idea of Gubbio's?
Well, I thought it was absolutely amazing. So the part about me that I love the relationship part of interacting with people,
mm-hmm.
right? So, like, my favorite part about Gubbio's is, like, if you see, we're coffee and more.
Yeah.
To me, it's the and more
yeah.
that is so amazing. It's the and more part of the conversations. It's thinking about the groups of people that are going to be sitting here and praying together, and just all the different amazing things that Christ is going to be able to just dive into right here in this coffee shop, because we have provided the space for it.
Yeah, that was one thing that intrigued me when I went on the website to start writing my notes, and I saw Gubbio's and more. And I thought,
yeah.
well, that, because it is very open-ended, and you can almost include whatever you want. It could be like some of the different food items, or it could be the social aspect, or like you say, the prayer, the get-togethers. But it's very intriguing title for this place.
Right, absolutely. And that's what makes it different. Like, there's so many different coffee shops, right? But we really want to encourage the and more. Like, here's your space to build relationships, to build your spiritual faith, and to, I mean, people will come in here and have meetings and,
yeah,
you know.
You mentioned Father Rudy, and a parish this big takes a special kind of pastor. And in speaking to him, he said this is a pastor's dream, is it the way he describes it. He seems to be custom fit for this kind of role. I think some priests would be overwhelmed. It's so big, but he seems to really thrive in this environment.
He does. Father Rudy, so I have been here for through four different pastors, right? And the thing that's special about Father Rudy is he has such a heart to meet people where they are. He really believes, if you talk to him, it's not really him running this parish. He really trusts in the people that he has on staff and the people that he has in charge of things, and he really is open to hear what they want to do and tries to make the best decision for the parish. It's really not about him. It's about St. Francis in our community.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very different, like, he has no ego, and he's very open. He wants to listen. He wants to do everything he possibly can.
I was here back in February. You know, through Deacon Alex and Father Rudy allowed us to come and sell raffle tickets for our car. And I was sitting over there at one of those tables, and it's Sunday morning. It's like 10 o'clock, and this parish is bustling and bustling. And Father Rudy walks by, and he sat there and talked to me for 15 minutes. And I was like, how can he do this? I mean, how can he give me 15 minutes when he's got this whole parish? But that's who he is.
He's so approachable, and he truly, he's right where his feet are. If he's talking to you, he's right there in the middle of your conversation and really invested in what you're saying.
Yes. Lauren Hartsock, Director of Kids Day Out and Parish Leadership Team Member. So I think we got the second part covered. Let's talk about Kids Day Out. This is something you started, right?
Well, yes. Years and years ago, I thought all I ever wanted to do was stay home. And then I was a stay-at-home mom, and I was like, wow, I'm not very good at this.
I want to get out.
So I did. But I didn't want like a daycare all day long. So it is a true preschool. Our hours are just from 9 to 2. And depending on the age of the kids, they come numerous days a week, a couple sessions, two or three times a week.
What age group?
We start at the ages 2, and we have a transitional kindergarten program, so 4-5. And we are a true preschool. We're a play-based. Kids learn through playing, and so it is a set curriculum. And we're not just meeting the needs of the kids. We're going above and beyond. We're really meeting those kids where they are and developing them wholeheartedly, the whole child.
And how many children are in the program right now?
So this year we have about 140-ish, give or take. Our numbers sometimes fluctuate depending on the class sizes and what sessions
and
we are
does it follow a school calendar,
it
or
does.
Is it isn't 12 months? Summer you take off, right?
Right. We're off for the summer, we're off for the holidays. We do take the holy days off, and so it is truly our focus is what's best for the kids. And so obviously we have young children, and it is best for the young children to be home.
Yeah.
And not be in school all the time if the opportunity provides. So
And I'm looking like 9 to 2, you know, that's not a full day. So is this mostly the moms and dads would just like the kids to be around other kids and maybe get a little bit of education or some faith formation? Or what is the curriculum? Probably singing, games, and fun? And
all of the above.
Okay.
Large group activity, small group activity, very much socialization, very much academic. Kids learn through play, so it's very hands-on, it's very exploratory. We're not just keeping them safe, it's very intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to sit down and play, and we're going to go through these activities, and I'm going to guide your discussion and your discovery and some levels to make sure that you're picking up some basic skills, too.
And also faith formation, right?
Absolutely.
How is that incorporated?
Absolutely. So, at this age, we do a lot of faith through actually discipline. You know, God gave us our hands to do kind things and to treat others nicely, and our mouths to say nice words and those types of things. We are surely incorporating it in the day-to-day, the basic prayers, praying before we eat, praying before we start the day, starting the Our Father and the Hail Mary and the Sign of the Cross, those types of basic things, and also exposing, especially the older kids, to parts of Mass and the different parts in the church, those types of things.
Yes, and we're down to a few minutes here. Lauren Hartsock, Director of Kids Day Out and Parish Leadership Team Member. I guess if somebody is interested in Kids Day Out, they can just go to the regular website, stfoafrisco.org, for St. Francis of Assisi. And by the way, we're broadcasting live from Gubbio's, and I'm going to ask you for what your favorite item is here, so be prepared for that.
Oh,
but before we get to that, being on the very small, I guess, parish council and advisory committee to Father Rudy, there's so much going on right now. This capital campaign, the new school that, you know, the same Mother Teresa. Can you just kind of explain to those listening, because it's been 2 hours since Father Rudy was on, what can we expect at St. Francis over the next couple of years as far as changes?
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And you got a minute and a half.
I was going to say, that is a long question. I think what you can expect at St. Francis is just an open heart and to be met with just openness and the just have the opportunity to, gosh, how do I put it into words in like 1 minute, right? I think there was just so much growth.
Yeah.
I think it's, the kids are bustling. There's so much excitement, the evangelization that's happening here. You'll come in and people are talking about Jesus. He's not like hidden. It is.
Yeah.
It's, when I grew up, it was very internal. Now it's very share within the community, very community feel.
Yeah, it's amazing because you hear these reports of, in other parts of the country especially, where, you know, parishes are closing or they're, you know, combining parishes or schools. And then you look at a place like this, and
yes,
it's just the opposite. And this is where the church is vibrant, the church is alive. And it's just so, it's so much excitement here.
Right. And for our church, we're just so welcoming. Like, we truly are happy that you're here. We are happy that you came through our doors. We're happy to interact with you.
All right. Well, and I have another minute and 20 seconds
all
until
right,
we're going to be forced off the air, right? And I do want to thank you very much, Lauren Hartsock, Director of Kids Day Out and the Parish Leadership Team member as well, for being the final guest in this two-hour broadcast.
Save
so thank you very
last,
much.
Right?
That's right. And I would be very remiss if I didn't, first of all, thank Father Rudy for his leadership here at the parish. And then Deacon Alex, as I mentioned before, is the one that put this entire list together. And this is no small feat to put this all together. So, Deacon Alex, thank you very much for the invitation to be out here. This is a beautiful coffee and more shop, and we really appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks, Dave. We're grateful that you guys are here. Very grateful for your partnership through the years, and we're just looking forward to collaborating with you guys for many years to come.
Yeah, and a lot of parishes, we wouldn't be able to cover 2 hours with so much information, but St. Francis is a very unique place.
Neat.
As And so thank you again,
of
Deacon
course,
Alex.
Thank you,
and if you want to learn more about this vibrant and growing parish, just go to their website, stfoafrisco.org. Thank you also to Cecil Anderson for all her help behind the scenes here, and also for you listening as well. You're listening to KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth, on the Guadalupe Radio Network. God bless you. We'll return now to regular programming.
KATH 9.